Psalms 117. If you'll turn there, we're going to read the entire psalm. Don't panic. It's two verses. If I'd have said Psalms 119, we're going to read the entire, then we may have been all we got done this morning. But Psalm 117, two verses, but so powerful, and they're going to help us introduce the subject of the message this morning. Psalm 117, verse 1 and 2. Let's all stand, if you're able, for the reading of the Bible, Psalms 117, verses 1 and 2. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Notice that little statement, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, first of all, glory and worship you and thank you for being so kind to us. And then, Lord, as we look at this subject this morning on the importance of kindness, this message, dear God, I pray that you'd help us, remind us of some things that we probably already know, and yet sometimes, Lord, we grow lack. And so may this message stir us as we go into a new week to look for opportunities to be kind, and Lord, also to understand the impact that kindness can have in people's lives. Thank you for all that the Bible says about it. And Lord, we can't look at it all this morning. What an amazing study. What an enjoyable study it was. And Lord, I can only bring part of that. But Lord, I pray that the part that I bring, dear God, will be a blessing to your people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Brother and Sister Dively got away for a few days this past week. And he called me and told me a little bit about their trip. Sherry, their daughter, took them over to Brown County for a few days. Yes, now they need a chaperone. At least Sherry believes they need a chaperone. And they got to spend a couple days over there. He's got a candy store he likes to go to in Little Nashville. The Candy Emporium, is that what it's called? How many know about this place in Little Nashville? All right, okay, there's a destination for you, the Candy Emporium. And they got to get his licorice. And I didn't ask you what color. Don't tell me black. Did you got the black. Wow. Okay. I had a feeling it probably was. Black. How many is a black licorice? Get out of here. What are you doing? None of you get watermelon. None of you. Stay away from the watermelon, okay? Because it's red. Amen. Black licorice, all right. And then they went to a few shops, but he shared a blessing with me. He said that they went to a restaurant on their trip, and they ordered their food and was waiting for it to come. So Brother Dively led his wife and daughter into prayer and thankfulness for the food. And I like to hear Brother Dively pray, by the way. He's very sincere in his prayer, and you can tell he knows the Lord, and he talks to the Lord as if he's real. How about that? That's a good way to talk to the Lord, because guess what? He is real. Amen. And so he got done, and then he said at the end of that, towards the end of their meal, there was a lady in the table over, a booth over, and she was, I love this, he described her as an elderly lady. You do realize you're 85, right? Okay. So, remind. So she was probably 80 and she's elderly. Amen. Remind me of my grandpa Ogle. He'd get behind people driving slow and he'd say, you know what? I hate getting stuck behind old people while they're driving. I'd look over him and think, I was too scared to say it, but I'd look over. What are you talking about? You are old, you know. But an elderly lady stood up and came over their table and gave Sherry a hug. And you said a peck on the cheek. And then went over and talked to them and said, I want you to know something. I paid for your meal. And he said, well, why did you do that? And she said, well, it's just so rare anymore to have somebody that will just unashamedly take time to lift up their voice and pray and thank the Lord for the food. That I was so impressed by that. It's just my way of saying thank you. It was a blessing to me. Now, folks, let me say what You know, let's use this word in describing what happened there. That lady was kind. Let's say it this way. That was kind of her to do that. And the more I thought about that story, the more I kept going back. I actually outlined this message about 2 months ago, and the Lord wouldn't give me a green light to preach it. But I felt like he brought that story so that I would come back to this message. I want to preach on the importance of kindness. I love stories like this. I love when it happens to me. But I love it more, and I mean this. If you knew my heart, you'd know it's true. I love it more when the Lord allows me to be the one who gives the blessing. You know, folks, if you read the paper or watch the news, you can't go away with anything but discouragement because of all the craziness and wickedness and violence that's happening in our country today. I mean, you won't go very long without either hearing a story or reading a story involving what the media calls random acts of violence. And I Googled that and read a couple stories. I just copied one and just, I mean, one short story that was written by a reporter called Random Acts of Terror. And because of the presence of so many cameras now, you know, surveillance cameras, a lot of these things are being caught on camera. Random acts of terror caught on camera are shocking the nation. In one incident, an elderly man was sitting in a pizza place in Manhattan recently when a total stranger slammed him with a chair. The victim's cell phone went flying and the assailant grabbed the device and took off running. The victim, I won't say his name, was 64 years of age. He spoke to reporters from a rehab center where he is recovering. This is what he said. I instantly raised my arm to protect my face, and this is what happened, he said. The victim, who was just minding his own business before his world exploded in pain, is only one of many in a string of horrific acts of violence, random violence, battering the nation. Folks, these things are appalling. I mean it. It's absolutely appalling, absolutely wicked, absolutely demonic. One woman in New York, in a New York subway station, same story. She's just given some examples. When a stranger grabbed her, threw her to the ground, the attacker, reportedly a convicted killer, pounded and then stomped on the woman before casually walking away. Her name was Elizabeth. I won't give her last name. 33-year-old lady just waiting to get on the subway. She may lose sight in one eye and is begging New York's mayor, Eric Adams, to do something about the surge in crime. Folks, if you're up on the news at all, you know that I didn't have to look very hard to find these examples. These things are happening on a daily basis in the United States of America. The headline in the New York Post recently was this: will no one help us as they are reporting on victims of random violence? Isn't just isolated in New York City. A 23-year-old, imagine this, 23-year-old walking home from a party in Philadelphia last Thursday was shot in the head by a total stranger. Cops say that, and again, I won't give the young man's name, but he didn't exchange a single word with the killer, didn't know the killer, never seen him before in his life, just passed him on the sidewalk, and he pulls a gun and shoots and kills this man. That I would like to say again, is an anomaly. But that happened in Philadelphia, and you realize, folks, that since Memorial Day, there's been 750 people that's been shot just in Philadelphia. Just in Philadelphia. Now, folks, listen to me. That's not of God. That is not the way the Bible teaches us to treat each other. That is exactly opposite of what the Bible teaches us to do. And I think it would be good for all of us. Preacher, what do we do about this? How do we stop all of this? Well, I don't know, but I know that we can counter it. And I believe if there can be random acts of violence, why can't there be random acts of kindness? And I think the story I told you, what the Dively's encountered, was a random act of kindness. I have been in a McDonald's drive-thru more than once and got up to pick my food up and had the person tell me, you don't owe anything. Well, why don't I owe anything? Because the car in front of you paid for your meal. And I don't believe I knew the people both times that was in the car in front of me. Well, what would possess somebody to do something like that? Well, I think that they were stirred of the Lord to do it. I think that kind of thing comes from heaven. It doesn't come from hell like the rest of this stuff does. And, you know, I want to just mount the pulpit and just kind of maybe challenge and encourage all of us. There's not a one of us that don't know this, but, you know, one of the things that church provides for us is just a place to be reminded about some things we already know. And, you know, God hates the kind of behavior that I read in this article. What God would like to see, what God commands us to do, is just the opposite. And so what is the Bible definition of kindness? If you're going to preach on a Bible word, you got to make sure you have a Bible definition. It means this: to employ graciousness and goodness when interacting with those around us. And folks, it doesn't always mean that you have to take your billfold out and spend money. It means just to employ graciousness and goodness when interacting with those around us. To be good, to be cheerful and joyful, to extend favor towards others, to be pleasant towards others. You young people listening to me, to furnish what is needed. If there is a need there and you see it and you can meet it, then meet it, then do it. Well, I don't know these people. That makes it even better. To bequeath good deeds and loving favor upon others. You pray for me as I preach on this subject, the importance of kindness. In introduction, I want to give you three quick Bible truths. Number one, we have a kind Heavenly Father. That's what we read about in Psalms 117. It says, for His, talking about the Lord, for His merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise you, the Lord. Well, why should I be kind to someone else? Because God's been kind to you. God's kindness is described as merciful kindness in this portion of Scripture. Notice this. He not only employs graciousness and goodness as He deals with each of us, but He baptizes that goodness in mercy, that kindness in mercy. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we really deserve. And you know what He does? He extends kindness to us a lot of times when we are the least deserving of it. He's kind to me even though I often do not deserve His kindness. And even though I often deserve, listen to me, the opposite of His kindness, God still is good all the time. Come on, church, and all the time, God is good. Well, if God can extend kindness to me, then you know what? Why is it a big ask for me just to slow down my life a little bit and extend kindness to people around me? Number one, we have a kind Heavenly Father. Number two, our Heavenly Father extended to us the greatest act of kindness ever. And you say, well, when's God been kind? Titus chapter 3, for we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But, listen, after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. And the kindest thing that anyone's ever done for someone else was when God decided to send Jesus Christ. Come on, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God could have written the entire human race off as just a bad experiment. I mean, He put us in paradise, and you know what we did? We turned it into what this world is today. Don't blame God for the mess that this world has become. Sin is what's brought us to where we're at. God didn't bring us here. He gave us paradise. We're the one that blew it. And yet God said, you know what? I love them. They've done wrong, but I love them. They've sinned, but I love them. And you know what? I want them. I mean, it's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be wanted. And you know what He did? He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins, for your sins, and for the sins of the whole world. It's the kindest thing anyone's ever done for somebody else, to send His only begotten Son and to put all of our sins on His Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, you know what? He paid for my sins. He paid for your sins. And you know what? All we have to do in order to be saved is to choose to receive the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ bought for us. You know, it's free. It's the gift of God is eternal life. And you know what? I picture God holding out this gift that was paid for. Listen, it was free for us. It wasn't free for Jesus. He had to pay a great price for it. He had to die for our sins. And when we fall under Holy Spirit conviction, we understand we're a sinner. And we realize without Christ and his forgiveness, we're going to a devil's hell. And we want to turn from our sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his gift of eternal life. Let me tell you something. The fact that God made that available to us, whether we take advantage of it or not, is still the kindest thing that anybody's ever done for any of us. So we have a kind Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father extended to us the greatest act of kindness ever. Now here, let's get it down to our life. Our Heavenly Father, come on, expects his children to be kind. Ephesians 4, verse 31 through 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So I want to talk to you and give you some Bible principles today that will encourage you and I hope motivate you to maybe go to an extra level of kindness this week. Hey, you know what, kids? I didn't plan it this way and didn't mean for it to happen this way, but school's starting this week. You know what? Maybe it's a good time for us to hear a little bit about kindness just before school starts. Those of you that don't go to a Christian school, you go to a public school. Hey, why don't you take this and just decide you're going to live it out as you go to school every single day this week. Let me give you some Bible principles. Number one, kindness is a command. I think it's good for us to say this. Kindness is a command given to us by our Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes we read the Bible as if it's a book of suggestions. You know, if God gives an emphatic statement like I just read, and be ye kind one to another, that is a command that God's word has given us. And I want to just say it so that, you know, we realize the seriousness of it. If God commands us to do something and we don't do it, folks, that's a sin. I mean, what is the definition of sin? Sin is a transgression of the law. God gives us a command or a law, tells us to do or behave a certain way. If we don't do that, then you know what? It's a sin. I want to say it again. It's a sin not to be kind. It's a sin this week to go a whole week and not be kind. Boy, we get so selfish and we get so self-centered and we get to forgetting about everybody except ourselves. Come on, folks. But you know what? Kindness is a command given to us by our Heavenly Father. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. With brotherly love and honor preferring one another. And I think especially the Bible encourages us. We're going to go on and find out there's other groups. But especially he's encouraging us as the family of God. Come on. Our Heavenly Father's instructing his children to exercise brotherly love. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. You know, there ought to be one place, come on this planet, when you walk into, you can find kindness. And it ought to be the house of God. It ought to be exhibited in the way that we treat each other and the things that we say to each other. You know, in our willingness to stop and pray with and for each other. And folks, you ought to be kind to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come on, we're part of the family of God here, okay? It doesn't mean you always have to agree with them, all right? Doesn't mean that you always have to, you know, be able to get on board with maybe their way of thinking or maybe their personality is a little different. You can still be kind. Right. It doesn't cost anything to be kind. And so be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. But you know what? Okay, I can be kind to other Christians. That's what the Bible says. In two places, Ephesians chapter 4, Romans chapter 12, I've been commanded to be kind to other Christians. Okay, how about Luke chapter 6? But as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also unto them likewise. For if ye love them that which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners do also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. Now listen, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. Listen, for he, speaking of the highest God, is kind unto the thankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. And you know what? This is where we get into, you know, college level Christianity. This is advanced Christianity, because it's honestly one thing to be kind to people that are kind to you and kind to your brothers, sisters in Christ. And it's another thing to be kind to your enemies. It's another thing to be kind to someone who doesn't treat you well. It's another thing to be kind to somebody who doesn't do right. But you know what? I think what the Bible's telling us is this. Listen, we need to be kind to everyone. How about that? Just be kind to everyone. It's a sin to be unkind. By the way, I want to say this. When God commands us to be kind, we are not being kind by not being unkind. Now, I think I told the story about the little boy that got picked up from school here, and he got in the car with his mom, and his mom said, "So were you good today?" And he stopped and thought, kids, don't you love it when your mom starts quizzing you as soon as she picks you up from school? And he said, were you good today? And he said, finally, after he thought a while, he said, "Well, I can't think of anything bad I did, so I must have been good." And we can laugh at that, but that's kind of the way we treat sometimes this idea of kindness. "Well, preacher, I went an entire day and I wasn't unkind to anyone." Preacher, if you knew me, you'd know that was, it took some doing, amen. And so I wasn't unkind to anyone. And you know what? You still sinned. This idea of living in a neutral zone. Well, I'm not bad, but I'm not good. I'm not unkind, but I'm not kind. You know, kind is an active, come on, it's an action, it's words, it requires effort. Okay, it's not the absence of being, this is good for us. It's not the absence of being unkind. I've got a whole world out there that just avoids each other. It's nothing to brag about. You know, were you kind to that guy that was on the street begging? No, but I didn't go over and kick him. And we almost want everybody to applaud us because we weren't unkind to him. I didn't call him names, so I must have been kind. No. No. You know, this happens often here, but I got a knock on the door. Just got here, I don't remember, Friday morning. Just got to church, and, you know, I was downstairs getting something, and I kept hearing somebody say, "Is anybody here? Anybody here? Hello, hello," over and over. And you know, I finally went around and found out which door they'd come in and found the person wandering around the church, and I said, "Can I help you?" And it was an adult man, but you could tell that he's autistic. If you've been around autistic people, you could tell he was autistic. And I said, and he kept saying the same things, kind of repeating himself. And so I said, "Well, what do you need?" And he had a backpack on, and he said, we need something to eat. And I need something to eat. And he said, "I need a ride to Linton." And I said, "Okay." And so I said, "Well, let's go out and get in the truck." And then he said, "Well, as soon as we got out there, you'll have to pick up my mom. She's out here on the road." And I said, "Okay, you got anybody else with you?" Okay, I'm trying to think of how many people I'm going to pick up before. Should I take the bus? Amen, you know. And you know, folks, these folks are around everywhere in America today. I mean, it's just true. You know, it's whatever circumstance put them there, they're there. Okay, and he asked right away, "Could I get something to drink?" And she needed something to drink, so we got him something to drink, and then we headed down to Linton. I took him to Subway and just, you know, ordered him a breakfast sandwich, and they thanked me, and they were kind and grateful for doing that. And folks, listen, opportunities are gonna come your way. God's gonna send people to me that he's not gonna send to you, and he's gonna send people to you he's not gonna send to me. And, you know, were you busy, preacher? I'm always busy. I'm always behind. I've never got to the end of my to-do list. There's always those things I need to accomplish today. But there's also, listen, why don't we just put on the top of our to-do list, be kind. And just whatever opportunity I have to help and to be a blessing to somebody, be kind. So kindness is a command given to us by our Heavenly Father. Kindness must be, I want to take you to this verse because I want you to see this phrase. Colossians chapter 3, If you don't mind turning over there, Colossians chapter 3, if you brought your Bible, Colossians chapter 3. It's good sometimes, I read a lot of the verses to you, but sometimes it's good just to look at it. You might want to mark it. You might circle this little phrase as a reminder to you. You say, well, preacher, if it's a command, and we know it's a command, I don't think anybody that walked in here this morning is sitting out there saying, I had no idea I was supposed to be kind and that God had commanded me to be kind. You know, then why aren't we? Why don't we do it more? Well, I'm going to give you the reason right now, and it'll help you. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. Notice this, Colossians 3, 12. Notice the first two words in that verse. Put on, therefore, is the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering. Now, that word put on is the same idea as when you get up in the morning, you get dressed before you leave the house. And you know what? Our time with the Lord and our time with the Word of God and our morning devotions are so important because it allows us to take the time to obey verses like this. If you don't have a time every day where you're putting on some things very purposefully, you know, I just said, why don't we put on our to-do list, you know, at the top of our to-do list? Maybe we ought to just write on there, you know, be kind. Be kind. Well, why would you get that idea? Because one of the things that we're to put on, and folks, you don't put this on once and you're good for the year. I wish it was like that. It really is a daily exercise. I preached a message entitled Set, Mortify, Put Off, Put On, Let, Do, Know. Years ago, I gave you a little laminated sheet and passed it out in here. And I said, you can go to Colossians chapter 3 and you can ready yourself for every single day. Set, we find in verse number 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Mortify, verse 5, there's some things that you ought to kill, that you ought to kill every single morning. Then there's put off, verse 8, 9, and verse 8 and 9. And then there's put on in verse 10, verse 12, verse 14. And then verse 16, let. The word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Spend some time in the book. Amen. And then do, not just read the Bible, but do what you read. Do what the Bible's commanded. And then this last word, know, which is found in verse 24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive. Now, I just reviewed that quickly. But you know what? If we really followed that every single morning, and if you'd have followed it faithfully since I have taught you that, part of every single morning would be putting on kindness. And you know what? You know, sometimes, you know, I see a need and I'll open my billfold and I don't have any money. I don't always have cash on me. Usually I do, but sometimes I get stuck where I just didn't have it. Didn't get to the bank, I don't have cash. And you know what? Sometimes we see an opportunity and we're not ready for it, not financially. Well, we're not ready for it. You know why? Because we didn't put it on that morning. This is practical stuff, but you know, the Word of God really will, if you'll take the time every morning, spend some time in the Bible, spend some time in prayer, and chapter number 3, if you go through Colossians chapter number 3, and set your affections from the beginning of each day on things above, not on the things of the earth, mortify, and that, by the way, all those lists of sins that we're to mortify are sins of the flesh. Come on, they're the things that the flesh will work against us. We're not supposed to gradually put them off. We're to kill them. There's no place in the Christian life for some of the wickedness and nonsense that's going on in the world. Put off the old man in verse number 9. Put off, come on, how about verse 8? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of our mouth. Listen, you know what you do? You every morning, just like you get dressed to go to work, there's some things you ought to set your affections the right way. You ought to decide, I'm going to kill these things. I'm going to deem myself dead and kill the old man, and then I'm going to put away from me anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication. I'm not doing that today. And you know what I'm going to do to make sure I don't do it? I'm going to put on some things positive. Come on, the principle of replacement. You put bad things out, but you need to replace them with good, positive things. In verse number 10, verse number 12, put on, therefore, is the elect of God, holy, beloved, bowels of mercy. There it is, kindness. Kindness. You know? And if you'll do that every single morning, then you know what? You go out into the world with the mindset that this is an important thing. Lord, help me not miss an opportunity just to be kind to someone. Again, folks, it's not always buying somebody a pair of shoes or taking somebody down, giving them a ride to Subway. It's not a lot of times even involve money. You know, a good word, folks. We're going to talk about it in just a minute. Matter of fact, let me just have you go there. Proverbs 31. I think as Christians, we need to be reminded of this. I think we ought to just pass a law. In Proverbs 31, we're told about the virtuous woman, and the Bible talks about her price being far above rubies. And one of the things that makes her of great value is because she has passed a law. And I want you to look at this in Proverbs chapter 31, verse number 26. And gentlemen, let me say this. In this area, the virtuous woman is an example to all of us, both men and women. Okay? Notice what it says in verse 26. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the, isn't that a great statement? The law of kindness. Now, who passed that law? She did. She did it. She decided, you know what? God said I'm supposed to be kind, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to pass a law that before I use my mouth, before I use my tongue, before I let a word escape out of my mouth, I'm going to make it pass the kindness test. And if it doesn't pass the kindness test, then I'm going to swallow hard and just not say it. Okay? Because, folks, again, kindness isn't just in our actions. Kindness is in our interaction with those around us. And so go out of your way to be kind. You know, one of the reasons that, you know, the world doesn't listen to Christians is sometimes I found out Christians are when they get out in the world, come on, I'm not talking about when we dust ourselves off, put on our Sunday best, the way we act here. That's not that's not a true test of who we really are. It's how we act out there, how we interact with people. You know, more people might listen to Christians talk about Jesus and be willing to listen to how to be saved if they just saw in us a pattern of kindness. Because let me say this, they don't experience that from the world. So if they're not experiencing it from us, who are they experiencing it from? Kindness ought to be a part of the law of our lips. Young people, I want you to really grab a hold of this. Some of you are just way too mean in the way you talk to your brother and your sister. Come on. Some of the things this week you've said to your mother, you ought to be ashamed of. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And you ought to go home. You ought to go home this afternoon and apologize to her and make it right. All that your mom does for you, all that she sacrifices for you, and you think that you have a right to say something unkind to her, I mean it. I'm going to say it again. Shame on you. That's wicked. And that's a sin. And you need to get it right. You need to go home. Some of you have said something to your dad this week that, you know what? You shouldn't have said it. And you know what? Shame on you. Shame on you. And listen, parents, I'm getting on the kids, but man alive, what kind of example are we setting for them? Sometimes are they just saying the same things that they've heard us say? Let's just say it together. Shame on all of us for not being kinder, for sometimes allowing ourselves to get in the flesh, for sometimes saying things that is hurtful instead of helpful. You don't have to do that. But you know what? You're going to have to put some things on every morning and put off some things every morning. And you're going to have to pass a law. And by the way, it's not just the words we say. How about this thing? I think, you know what? You type out a text and you're not in a good place and you're aggravated. And you're typing away. Now, listen, there's power in the tongue, but there's also power in the thumb. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. It's in the power of the thumb, because you know what we do? That's usually what you use to hit that sin button. And sometimes I think what we need to do is, I guess, get it out of your system. And then read it. And then ask yourself, does this really pass the kindness test? And if it doesn't, there's a backspace there. For those of you smart enough, you can tap it and figure out a way to select all and delete it all at once. Us old guys just go like this, you know. We got to go backwards. And as aggravated as I get, sometimes I got a lot of backspace. I got a lot to erase, you know. But, well, it makes me feel better. Does it make God feel better? Is it going to make that person feel? What are we doing? Okay, but they were mean to me. Okay, so you're going to now go to their level? And you're going to live like them? Hey, you know what? Let's do better. Come on, every single one of us, let's just do better. Let me take you to Colossians chapter number 3. And I want to say this, and I have to kind of say this because of what this world has done in taking Bible principles and sometimes using them as a banner for wickedness. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about it was God that created the rainbow. It's a symbol of the mercy and grace of Almighty God. And yet some of the most wicked sinners in our nation today have decided they're going to adopt God's symbol as their own. I noticed on vacation there was a lot of these t-shirts that said, be kind, and you know, all these things about kindness. And I'm like, well, I'm for that. I've just outlined a message about that. One of these days I'm going to preach at Blessed Hope. And somebody told me, well, that whole be kind thing, you know, is kind of the you know, one of the mottos of the homosexual people, you know. And I guess Ellen DeGenerate, that's how you say her last name, and Ellen DeGenerate, she invented the idea of kindness. I had no idea. It wasn't God. It wasn't God's word. It was Ellen DeGenerate that invented the... No, it wasn't. Now, I'm saying the things I'm saying on purpose, by the way, folks. I interact with people that are sodomites. I interact with... And you know what, folks? Listen to me. I'm kind. I'm kind. If you want to check the record of who's kind and who's not, it's not the Christians that are being unkind. It's not the Christians that are having parades mocking their lifestyle. Okay? It wasn't Christians down here. Come on. It wasn't Blessed Hope members that were out here picketing the coffee place and the pizza place. It was the owners of those businesses that were picketing the church. So I get a little tired of this. Yeah, they're the kind ones. Okay? But I want you to understand something. Notice in Colossians 3:12, kindness is always to be built upon godliness. You don't sacrifice godliness and then call it kindness. Colossians 3:12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, comma, holy, how about that word? Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Let me have you go to 2 Peter chapter 1. That's back towards the book of Revelation. This will help you. 2 Peter chapter number 1. Look, if you will, in verse number 5. Instruction to those of us that are saved. Okay? Kindness is to be built upon the foundation of godliness. Verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, notice this, add to your faith, your saving faith. That's where you start, faith in Christ. You need to add some things to this, virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. We ought to teach through this one of these days and show you the building blocks of Christian growth. Fascinating study. So faith, and then virtue, add virtue to it, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. Notice this. And to godliness, brotherly what? Kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. Now, isn't it interesting that before we get to brotherly kindness, the subject of kindness, we lay the foundation of godliness? Now, let me kind of teach you what I'm saying here. When sinners, when this group I'm talking about talks about being kind, what they really mean is be accepting. Be accepting. Okay? I can be kind to them and not be accepting of their lifestyle. Okay? Don't say anything negative against it. I'm sorry. But you know what? God called me as a preacher to preach all of the counsel of God. We're supposed to preach all of it, whether or not it's politically correct or not. Okay? No matter what laws are passed in our nation. There are certain things the Bible has proclaimed as being vile and wicked. And you know what? We ought to stand up and say these sins are vile and wicked. Okay? But you know what? We got a great example by watching God. God hates sin, but he loves sinners. And if he didn't, we'd all be in trouble because we're all sinners. My sin might not be their sin. Their sin may not be my sin, but I'm sure glad God loves sinners. And I think the balance that we find here when it comes to kindness is be careful that you're not sucked into a faulty, unbiblical definition of what kindness is. Because their kindness, their definition of kindness is you should never say anything negative about my sin. You should never preach against my sin. We shouldn't stand up and warn these precious young people of the consequences of getting involved in that type of a lifestyle. And you know, there's consequences with every sin. Okay, highest suicide rate amongst any group of people in America is amongst those that are involved in the sin of sodomy. Now the liberals want to turn that around and say, well, the reason is because of the way you treat them. No, the reason is because of where that leads them. Okay, but they're always trying to change the narrative. Isn't it interesting? It's always someone who's doing right, our fault, that they're getting to the point where they think so little of themselves that they kill themselves. I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with how people are treating them. It's the consequences of the sin that they are involved with. So I'm going to preach against it. You know why? Because I love our young people. I'm going to preach against it because I love our people. And you know, I want good things and blessings to come into your life. And if God will destroy from the face of the earth the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's already weighed in on what he thinks about this sin, okay? And so, you know, what we've got to do is take the same view of it that God takes. Now, the reason I had to take some time for this is because I just got educated on this whole thing of if I preach on kindness, you know, me and Ellen are on the same page, I guess. No, we're not. And what she teaches about kindness is not what the Bible teaches about kindness. The greatest kindness that a preacher can, come on, maybe offer to somebody that's caught up in that sin is to be able to tell them that Jesus Christ died for that sin like he died for any other sin. And listen, if he can deliver the drunkard from the bottle and the drug addict, and by the way, I know that he can because we have both these type of folks in this auditorium right now, and he's done it, then why can't he deliver you from your sin of sodomy? He can. Okay, and so kindness is to be built upon godliness. Kindness is one of the main attributes of genuine love. We'll finish with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. How about that? The Bible says this about charity when it begins to describe it and give its attributes. Charity suffereth long and is what? Kind. Folks, listen to me. If we're going to truly love people, come on, husbands. If you truly love your wife, you'll be kind to your wife. Wives, if you truly love your husband, you'll be kind to your husband. Children, do you love your mom and dad? Then you ought to be kind to them. By the way, parents, we ought to be kind to our children. How about that? If we love the brothers and sisters in Christ around us, then let's be kind. Now we're done. Look up here. We talked about random acts of violence. How about a group this size? Come on, being turned back into society in the workaday world. Come on, we're all going to go to work Monday. We're all going to go out and be about. I wonder what would happen this week if we just all said, Lord, just give me the opportunity. Help me to see it. Show me a chance. Show me a way. Show me somebody that needs an encouraging word. Show me a way I can be a blessing. You know, maybe I'll be the person, come on, in McDonald's. Just think, if you did this every day, you get to go to McDonald's every day. There's some benefits to being kind, you know. Listen, I love this part of the message because I've delivered what God wanted me to say to you. And then, you know what, you take the truths and then you listen to what God says to you and what you should do with it. And you know what I believe with all my heart? I think if you're listening, he'll show you this week. He'll give you those opportunities. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that, Lord, we learned kindness from you. Lord, we already mentioned the greatest act of kindness ever was when you sent your son. Lord, there may be somebody here that's never received you as their Savior. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that if that's true, if they're here and they've never been saved, they'd be saved this morning. Lord, I know you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know that the gift of God is not offered to just a few, but to whosoever will. And so, Lord, I pray, dear God, if there's someone here and they've never received you as Savior, they are thinking back along the timeline of their life. They're thinking back. They can't find that place where they fell under Holy Spirit conviction, understood they were a sinner, and wanted to turn from their sin to God to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. If they've never come to that point, I pray that you'd bring them there. Bring them to that point this morning. Make them willing, dear God. I pray, dear God, that you would help us as Christians to better represent you. If we have a Heavenly Father that has shown us merciful kindness, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to just seek an opportunity to do the same to those around us. May it start in our homes. And then, Lord, as we leave our homes, may it be exercised, Lord, in the arena of our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name.